thetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is signing an executive order reimposing many sanctions on Iran 3 months after pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal. The president says U.S. policy is to levy what he calls maximum economic pressure on the country. In a statement today, the president restated his opinion that the 2015 international accord to freeze Iran's nuclear program in return for lifting sanctions was what he called a horrible one-sided deal. He says it left the Iran flush with left the nation of Iran flush with cash to use and fuel conflict in the Middle East in the process. The U.S.-backed fight against Yemen's Shiite rebels has benefited al-Qaeda's branch in the country. Its militants are battling alongside even within units financed and armed by the Saudi-led coalition trying to fight back those rebels. On Wall Street, it's a booming session so far. The Dow is up 47 points, the NASDAQ up 41. More details at SRNnews.com.
Mostly sunny today, only a slight chance of rain. We'll have a high today near 89 degrees. This evening, mostly clear, and our nighttime low will be 75. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny again and warm. Our high tomorrow, 91 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my battle buddy, Doug McCary. It is August. What is today? The August 6th, and we are live in the studio.
It is the 6th. I can't believe it's August 6th, and we have been gone for two months.
2 months.
People that are faithful SWAT Radio listeners, thank you for listening to the best of over the summer.
You know, I had a lot of folks over the last, the last 3 or 4 weeks who said, are y'all live this summer?
Yeah, somebody asked me, when are you guys going? I kept getting texts. When are y'all going live? When are you going live? And I'm like, August the 6th. We'll be back on August 6th. Really? I mean, they're like, so next year we might regroup and maybe limit the best of for our vacation time. It's just, it's been nice, but I missed it.
I don't know about you. I mean, throughout the summer, there were many times where I'd be in my car, you know, going to do work-related stuff, and it'd be 3 o'clock, and I'd be like, 91.7. Right here in Jacksonville, and I was like, man, that guy sounds familiar.
It's like, that's me on there, you know?
Exactly. Well, if you're joining us today, we may be a little squeaky right now. You know, we need to.
We got to.
I don't know if we need to sing
off
during the break just to get our voices tuned up. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a great summer. We've seen each other. It's not like we haven't been around each other. In fact, we were over in the Philippines. We're going to be talking about that this week. A lot of stuff, unfortunately, went on in the summer that we have not been able to kind of look at through a biblical lens. I mean, big stuff.
Well, and I mean, Doug, you and I, yeah, we have seen each other, but quite frankly, we haven't had just one-on-one time to unpack. I mean, yeah, we were in the Philippines together. You were gone for a couple of weeks at Camp Barnabas. Mm-hmm. I still haven't really gotten a download on that trip.
Oh, it was incredible.
You and I, we had our SWAT retreat this weekend. It was outstanding.
And by the way, is it public information about your daughter?
It is.
All right, congratulations to your daughter.
Yes, Hannah. Hannah made a decision to go be a Colorado State Ram. So she's going to be continuing her education and her swimming career at Colorado State in Fort Collins, Colorado. So, if you're listening and you know anything about Fort Collins, call me. I'd love to hear from you. You know, we'll take it offline, but I'm excited. I mean, I've never been there. I've never been to Fort Collins. I've been to Vail, Aspen, Beaver Creek, all those places.
I think the water's cold out there.
I have no doubt that
it's probably all indoor, right?
Well, we had some conversations with the coach over the last month and a half or 2 months, and they do a lot of whitewater rafting. And it was so funny, Doug. One of the things that Hannah had told me when all the recruiting process started is she had narrowed it down to about 50 schools.
Only 50?
Yeah, only 50. Now, that was about a year and a half ago. None of them were in any cold areas of the country, you know, because she's grown up in Jacksonville. She's used to the swimming outdoors. And, you know, here she is. She's going to go to Colorado.
It is very different in Colorado. Oh, I remember when we'd go skiing, or I'd be speaking at that thing out in Beaver Creek. They had an indoor pool out there. But even indoors, even though the water's warm, the air is still kind of cool.
The air is cold. You know, the other thing that's been a factor, my oldest daughter, who, Sarah, you know, got to train at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. And she talked a lot about the altitude, the difference in altitude. You know, and we know that's true with a lot of the football players and basketball players. But, you know, those swimmers, it has an impact on them. So hopefully maybe that'll be good for her.
Yeah, well, I hope so. And congratulations. I know as a parent, it's great when your kids get to go do something like that. And she's worked hard as a swimmer. Mm-hmm. I know that. And you know, it's when you're scholarshiped, it's a cool thing to go in there and be able to go to a school or just participating at the collegiate level in any kind of sport. It's a cool thing.
Well, it was very encouraging. It is definitely a weight off her shoulders and off her parents' shoulders. It was great to visit with the coach. One of the assistant coaching assistants is the head of FCA on campus. So that was really encouraging to me. He really recruits with the idea he's looking more for character than he is for talent necessarily. He feels like he can develop talent. What he wants is character.
Well,
so that was encouraging.
Speaking of character, we had Rod Hanley for the retreat. We just did our SWAT retreat. By the way, it was awesome. We had a great group of guys. Rod Hanley, Rod has a ministry called Character That Counts. He wrote a book called Character That Counts. He has spoken to NFL teams. A lot of teams have brought him in. They've used his material. He came and spoke in St. Augustine. And Brad, you and I haven't even talked about that, but I thought he did a phenomenal job of just bringing the need for accountability to light for us as men.
Well, you know my story and how God has used that.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I talked to Rod on Saturday after we kind of wrapped up, and I said, you know, we sling that word around accountability and don't really understand the depth of it. And you know, he even said, if it wasn't for accountability, I wouldn't be talking here today. And it's true in my life. I mean, I think of the men that I have allowed into my life to see the nooks and crannies and the dark areas of my heart have been a huge impact in my walk with Christ. I mean, it's one of the things you and I believe, you know, as part of the five elements of SWAT is community, but community at a deeper level than just, you know, news, sports, and weather. Like he said, it's what's under the surface that we don't like to expose ourselves.
Well, and let's be real honest. When we talk about accountability, is there anybody really going, wow, I love it? When somebody holds you accountable, it's not a fun thing. Mm. It's not fun at all. But listen, anytime somebody exposes a weakness, it's usually exposing peril. Like when I was a pilot, when you had a wingman that would expose an enemy on your six, that means you were in trouble and you wanted that guy to do that. See, for us, a lot of times as guys, though, when people expose that peril to us, whether it's some kind of addiction or whether it's just really being oblivious to things that we need to be caring about, our first thought is, you know, I don't need this person in my life giving me this grief. We may not like the tone of it. And a lot of times, sometimes, especially if it's coming from somebody we're close to, a family member, a spouse, it's really hard. And isn't it funny how you can hear something from your spouse, but if you tell me, I listen because it's, you detach the emotion from it sometimes.
Well, you know, you think in my business, you know, you don't buy a piece of property without having it inspected. In fact, as you own a piece of property, it's good to have it inspected every once in a while. You know, every business has a board, should have a board. You know, that board is there to hold us accountable to do what we're called to do.
Well,
and, you know, we live in a time, we talked about it over the weekend, is isolation. You know, as men, we're very isolated. And allowing somebody to be a part of our life at that level, it's not easy.
Well, and unfortunately, the way that we do church community here in America it tends to be very consumer oriented in the way we think. You know, in other words, we kind of look at opportunities for what we personally get out of them instead of what we give to them. And I think the way that ends up affecting us a lot of times is we have people like we had a guy this weekend that I got to know on the retreat that he's been part of a church community here for 2 years. He's moving. And to my knowledge, nobody from that church is helping him move. He's moving his whole house, different pods and stuff, into his house with no help but him and his wife. Now, that shouldn't happen. And it probably happens more than we know. Now, that's just one isolated thing. And, you know, when I was interacting with him, I invited him to the retreat, and he was more than happy to come. And when he came, he got to experience and see what we do at SWAT in the community that we share. And, you know, I have to tell you, when I said, how many guys here went to the Philippines? Did you realize that one quarter almost of the guys there raised their hand?
So I was trying to think. We had almost everybody there. Ronnie wasn't there.
Ronnie had a funeral. He would have been there. He had signed up to come, but he had a funeral that he had to go to. So Tom
and Rich weren't there because they were out of town. Colorado and Tom's.
But all the Jacksonville guys were there. And this was what I was having a conversation with this morning with one of the SWAT guys, is that what we try to do is build community through the weekly meetings, through the retreat in the summer, and then mission trips. And Brad, right now, almost 25% of the guys that come to SWAT have gone on some kind of mission trip. Now, that's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've gone to either India, Nepal, or to the Philippines now.
And it kind of touches on that evangelism piece of the SWAT 5.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you don't have to go across the country to or around the world to be an evangelist. Sometimes you just have to go across the street. But what a neat experience it was.
Tell us about that from your experience, because you got to go to India, which was a little different trip. On this particular trip, you got to share the gospel multiple times every day. And we had guys on this trip who had never shared the gospel like that in their life, who shared the gospel 7 to 8 times a day, and it changed their whole perspective.
So, well, I don't even know where I would start, Doug, other than it started on my way over when I started to realize that we're going to be sharing the gospel, you know, 8, 10, maybe 15 times a day in a very short period of time. In fact, if you would have said, hey, Brad, I want you to share Christ with this guy, he's going to meet you at Starbucks Thursday at 3 o'clock, I'd be super excited about doing that, because I'm going to sit at Starbucks for an hour.
And you got a whole
sometime
hour.
In the hour, I'm going to present the gospel to him.
Yeah.
I'm very relational in my evangelistic approach.
Which is good.
It is good. No, it is good. But I think it's easy to go, well, this is the way I do it. The reality is, you may be in a situation in your life, you may be in a situation this week or this month, where you don't have an hour.
You got 10 minutes.
Maybe you're going to the hospital to meet somebody. Do you know how to share the gospel in 10 minutes? Doug, if I'm honest, I didn't. So it forced me to get myself prepared to do that.
Yeah.
Mainly because you only have 8 to 10 minutes. Now, and when I say 8 minutes, that is, you'd add another 8 because you got a translator with you. And I think that was one of the things I came away most impacted by, was that God would use us. He'd use this voice of mine, the mind I have, and the hands and feet to go somewhere and present the greatest gift of all time. Who doesn't like to give a gift to somebody? You know, whatever it is.
And listen, I mean, for these children over there, by the way, we got to share with, and we're going to have guys come in on Thursday as our guests this week to share from their perspective. And these guys are, these are just normal, everyday guys who work 9 to 5 doing jobs, who come to SWAT, who said, yes, I'll go. They have not taught like you and I have taught, and they've not had those opportunities. And so if it's hard for us to do it, I can't imagine the anxiety that can develop. But you know what? They all came back changed and excited about now they can, they've done it. And that's what training is. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus didn't say, hey, come learn what I teach. He said, come follow me. He did that. He demonstrated, then he sent him out. And when we come back, I want to further develop this with you and talk, but we're already through the first segment, man.
Hey, can we go to 3 hours?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know. We could talk long enough, right? But, if you want to join us today, we'll take some calls, 904-401-1413. We're still up on Instagram, social, you know, all the social media, Facebook, at SWAT Radio Talk. And you can check us out live at SWATradio.com or download the app.
Yeah, and we want to thank our sponsors, Caduceus Consulting, Ace Door and Window, Evolve Bank and Trust, and IPC. We'll be back in just a minute.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes and Doug McCary here live, August 6th, Monday. Good to be back in the studio live. Doug, I mentioned it in the first segment. We've seen each other a lot over the summer, been on mission trips and retreats, but we really haven't gotten a chance to just do this.
I know, just talk. And I was enjoying hearing you talk about the Philippines from your perspective, because You have gone to Israel. I sat and thought about it. Prior to this time last year, you had never gone anywhere with me overseas. Mm-mm, right, and in the last year, you've gone to India, Israel, and the Philippines.
Yeah, been great. This is, by the way, if you want to be in an accountability relationship like Doug and I are in,
yeah,
this is what might happen.
Yeah, you could end up going places. By the way, Israel, well, there's still time for people. If you have never been to Israel, we are taking a group over there November 23rd through December 2nd. We got about a week left for sign up for that. If you want to go, the cost is $39.50. to go with us on this trip. It is an incredible trip. I would love for you to call in. We leave on December 23rd, get back on the 2nd, and that's your hotel, your airfare, your the coach. We're on a bus going from site to site. We hit 32 sites in 8 days, and it's more of a retreat, isn't it, Brad?
It really is. I could probably talk for the next 45 minutes about that trip. Doug, it's interesting. I don't know that I had the desire to go to Israel certainly was there, but it probably wasn't way up there. And, really went out of you kind of going, hey, you teach regularly. This would be a great. And I can tell you, on Saturday after we finished our shooting, I took a guy, we went out, got coffee, and ended up talking about Israel specifically. And it was neat. I even got on my phone, pulled it up on my Google app or Google Maps, and just talked about all the various places we went. So if you've never been, this is an amazing trip. For me, Doug, by far greatest trip I've ever been on. You know, and I've been on some pretty amazing trips.
Yeah, it for me and Lori, too. It was an absolute amazing trip. And if you are a Bible teacher or teaching any kind of Bible study or just are a student of the Bible, it is life-changing in your understanding, I think, of context for the scriptures.
No question about it.
So anyway, getting back to the Philippines. So I asked you to go on this trip, and you were like, okay, yeah, maybe it'll work, and you go. So tell me what you thought.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before we took the break, I think for me, preparing to make a gospel presentation in a very short period of time was a good exercise for me, Doug. I even mentioned it because you let me do the devotion the second day we were there. So, you know, I still remember David Gray and I. David will be in this week in the studio just to share his experience. David and I went out the very first day. And I remember, I think we had a two-hour drive before we got to the first place we're going to share. And I look out. Now, keep in mind, I'm used to sharing with men. I mean, I teach men, and, you know, standing up for 100 men is not that. I mean, it probably was scary, you know, years ago when I first did it. But over
you've been
time,
doing it for a
been
while.
Doing it over time. You enjoy it. You stand up for 300 or 400 elementary kids and who don't speak your language. Doug,
it was intimidating for
my
me,
stomach
too,
was
it?
A little tight.
You're,
you know?
Like, okay.
And of course, we ended up presenting the gospel. And, you know, I think I may have left Jesus on the cross somewhere in that presentation. Thank goodness for good translators who bring Jesus off the cross.
They get him off.
Anyway, you know, by the time I got to the third or fourth time that day, it was kind of like, okay, I got this. But I realized later on that night, as I was preparing to kind of share a devotion the next day, was how easy it is to become very kind of formula-ish or very unemotional about it. And what I was sharing before we took the break is I love to give gifts to people. Mm-hmm. You know, I love giving gifts. There isn't a greater gift we can share with people than Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of every time I shared it, that was kind of what I thought about, is I'm going to get to share the greatest gift that's ever been given with whoever it is. And I kind of have, Doug, have brought that back to the United States with me.
Well, and the truth is, Brad, you know, I took you to India, and we it's teaching and training, mm-hmm. over there. And I had not done an evangelism trip like this in a while. I used to do these all the time in Russia and Africa and even in the Philippines some prior to this. But it's been a few years since I did that. My focus has been more training the nationals, mm-hmm. to go out and,
right.
do this thing. So the gospel message has been there for them. But to go out and to give the gospel just like that, it was a good reminder to me that, you know what, we need to be able to do that here. And we've kind of lost that. We've kind of lost that urgency, I think, that we feel over there. We should feel it here in the States, too.
Well, I think that's a great word, urgency. And what I said earlier is you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who God is going to bring across your path, sovereignly bring across your path. And are you, I think of Paul, who said, be prepared. In season, you know, I mean, it's all the time. Are we prepared to share the gospel? And as I said before, you put me in a Starbucks or a Bold Bean or, you know, a coffee shop or whatever, you know, at some point I'm going to present the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has always been very, very encouraging about land the plane. You know, it's like I can drag a story out forever, but can I,
can you shrink it and get it down?
Present the gospel, a clear presentation. And to me, that's the challenge to our listeners today, even, is when was the last time you shared the gospel? I'm talking about you shared a clear presentation of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
If so, great. I think it's an exercise we ought to be doing on a weekly basis. I love what Rod Hanley, our guest speaker this weekend, his little card, accountability card. Have you shared Christ? Have you shared the gospel this week?
Think about that. Do you know, Brad, and I've shared this with the SWAT groups, in one survey, one ministry they did among churches, 95% of the people in the congregations have never told one person about the gospel.
Hmm.
Not just Jesus, not just saying, hey, I love Jesus. Gone through a gospel presentation that we talked about God's plan for us,
mm-hmm.
Our problem, sin, mm-hmm. God's provision, Jesus, and our response.
Yeah.
They haven't done that.
you know, I got had Jake there this weekend, and you know, I've had Jake home most of the summer. He came home for a few weeks, then went back to school. Then he's back for another month. He leaves in a couple of weeks. In fact, we spent the whole morning together, and just every time I'm, you know, with him alone, we usually get into some good, deep spiritual discussions, and we got to talking about that idea of sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, you think 95% of our of people that are in the churches in America have never shared the gospel, and yet they could talk sports, they could talk, you know, whatever their team is, and I mean, they know that material so well.
Because it's important to them.
Right. We say Jesus is the most important thing in our life. We say it with our lips, but we don't live it out with our actions. You know, you and I are both grandpas. I've got my phone is saturated. It's got full of pictures of my grandchildren. And I'm, there's hardly anything more exciting to talk about than my own grandchildren or my own children or my wife or my work. Yet what's far more great, what's far greater than that is my relationship with Christ. If I say that's true, then it ought to be evident in how much I talk about it.
Well, one of the issues, and this is our theme for the week, we're this week, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. When I was camp pastor at Barnabas, our theme verse was Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship. In your translation, it might say masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. But that comes on the heels of probably one of the most memorized verses of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, it's not our doing, it's the gift of God. And so the theme this week is grace, God's grace, plus our gratitude equals this masterpiece of good works that takes place in our life, because the gratitude is what drives us to Him. And as we drive closer to Him, He's going to use us to tell other people about Him because we're so grateful.
That he prepared beforehand that we would walk in.
I
even go back to the verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you formerly walked.
Yeah.
So we used to walk one way.
Yeah.
Now we've been saved by grace, not of our own works. It's a gift of God. Now there's a new path to walk in.
Yeah, and the key word there being dead.
Yes.
We were dead.
Yeah.
And when somebody saves you and redeems you and rescues you, I think there's an initial point of gratitude, but over time we become complacent and we live in a world that's redefined things. In fact, when we come back, I want to cite an article out of the New York Times and USA Today as well. That talks about how we've got this culture of self, and we've actually changed the language. Now, we don't talk about sexual immorality anymore. It's sexual addiction. And what that does is it's kind of replaced the language of the Bible with the language of our culture, and it's taken the responsibility for making those choices that are immoral out of the hands of the person, because it's a medical condition now. It's not a personal responsibility issue. And Brad, this is rampant. And it's not just rampant about sexual addiction. It's also about alcohol addiction. And now they've come up with a new one. We're going to talk about this too. Now there's a video game addiction. Now keep in mind the same language. It's about self. It's about the addiction.
As if you have no control
exactly.
over it, right?
That's the whole point. It takes it out of the realm of personal responsibility. And now it's just funny that they say, you know, we were talking to Brian before the show about Fortnite, because I was telling him, I play this game with my two boys. One's in Korea and one's here. And it's a way for us to play together. Anything can be addictive.
Oh, yeah.
And anything can be detrimental. And when we come back after the break, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that in light of what we're talking.
Yeah. I know my tendencies. Yeah. Don't introduce me to that game.
Okay.
That's all I'm telling you. Hey, glad to have you with us today. We're live in the studio. Finally, it's been a while. You want to join us? 904-401-1413. By the way, if you have any questions, you can just type in ask at swatradio.com. We'll check you out after the break.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is signing an executive order reimposing many sanctions on Iran 3 months after pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal. He says U.S. policy is to levy what he calls maximum economic pressure on the country. In a statement today, the president restated his opinion that the 2015 international accord to freeze Iran's nuclear program in return for lifting sanctions was what he calls a horrible one-sided deal. The president yesterday acknowledged that the 2016 Trump Tower meeting between a Kremlin-connected lawyer and his son was to collect information about his political opponent, casting new light on a moment central to the special counsel's Russia probe. Here's correspondent Kid Lorman.
On Twitter, Mr. Trump wrote, quoting here, "Fake news reporting a complete fabrication that I'm concerned about the meeting my wonderful son Donald had in Trump Tower. This was a meeting to get information on an opponent, totally legal and done all the time in politics, and it went nowhere. I did not know about it." The tweet was President Trump's clearest statement yet on the purpose of that meeting, which has become a focal point in Robert Mueller's investigation.
President Trump also used Twitter to tear into the news media on Sunday. William Gross has been sworn in as Boston's first black police commissioner. Retired Superintendent Randall Halstead says it's a proud day for the city.
Dr. Martin Luther King is looking down and smiling because he is seeing the realization of one of his dreams, in which a man is not judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character.
Gross took the oath of office today at the Morning Star Baptist Church in front of his family and community members. Chicago police say weekend shootings across the Windy City left at least 11 people dead and about 70 wounded.
We need more help from our judicial system. We need more help from our federal partners, and we're getting it, but we won't be defeated in this.
But Police Patrol Chief Fred Waller says they are determined to stop the violence in Chicago. More from townhall.com.
We appear to be accident-free and delay-free around Metro Jacksonville. The major expressway is in pretty good shape. The only thing I'm seeing now is a disabled vehicle on Butler Boulevard heading west beyond San Pablo. That's off to the side. Maybe a few onlook delays, but that's about it. Plenty of sun this afternoon, becoming partly cloudy tonight. Low 74 Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 91.
Man, it's good to hear that music coming on, Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. SWAT Radio live in the studio this week and the next week and the next week, Lord willing. It is good to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back. And, you know, just so much to talk about. I want to talk about, we can't get into this today, but we're going to talk about the Pope last week made a sweeping statement of theological change of the Catholic Church. And it's about the death penalty. They no longer say it's mm-hmm. sanctioned. I mean, mm-hmm. they've completely reversed a position of over almost, you know, 1,800 years, 1,500 years or so. And they held this position. The Vatican itself, Vatican City, they had capital punishment over there till the late 60s.
Okay, so I've got a question for you. And I want to talk more about Philippines and things. What makes, so you think about the Pope, you think about you, your life, my life, what is it that makes us shift a position like that?
Well, I mean, they call it progressive understanding of God's revelation is what the key term being progressive.
Isn't that interesting?
Because
has nothing to do with man pleasing.
No.
Pleasing man.
It's they called it progressive and complete revelation, which it's funny to me that for 1,500 years it was incomplete like that, and now all of a sudden it's changed. It's kind of like, you know, the Mormon Church for all up until the 60s, if you were a black person, you could not be an elder in the Mormon church because that was the teaching. And then all of a sudden they had a shift. So there, it's, you know, the thing about the Bible, if you look at the Bible contextually, you know, I understand people taking things out of context, but the Bible contextually, the truths of the Bible have remained constant. Those truths has remained constant. When we misperceive things because we take things out of context, that can change.
You know, Doug, we ought to take a week or two and discuss that. What does it mean to teach and understand the scriptures in context?
Yeah. Understanding the Bible. We could do a whole week on that. In fact, maybe we'll do that next week. Maybe
think about people who quote a Bible verse. Oh, it's a great Bible verse, and it sounds good to that particular situation, but a lot of times it's out of context.
Well, exactly. I mean, we got into that a little bit when we were teaching through Matthew 6, where people quote that, or I think it's Matthew 6, maybe it's Matthew 7, where they say, judge not, you know, get the log out of your own eye. And so they say, we're not supposed to judge people. No, that's not what it teaches in that at all, contextually. What it teaches is you don't make final judgment on people, but we are to discern. If you look at the whole of Scripture, we are to call people to account that are believers who say they're believers who are not living a believing lifestyle and witness. As believers, we have responsibility to, like Paul says in Galatians, to go to that person in love in Galatians 6, I think 6:1, and what Perry Bowers calls hit them with a velvet brick, you know, right. Basically get their attention and let them know. But, you know, getting back to the accountability issue, nobody likes that.
No, absolutely not.
You know,
but again, think about life and, you know, think about the, you know, if you're in the business world, you're in the sports world, or whatever it is you do on a daily basis, you are accountable.
Yes.
The banking regulators, the radio people, media, there's a standard by which, you know, we can't just take this mic and say whatever we want to say, right, Doug?
Yeah, you can, but there's accountability.
There's going to be some consequences to it.
There are. And one of the issues, I think, Brad, that has deeply impacted us all is what I was talking about earlier. Al Mohler quotes this guy named Philip Reif. He wrote a book called Triumph of the Therapeutic back in the 60s. And basically the main theme of this book is that the old religion, Christianity, is going to be replaced by a new religion called the therapeutic. It's what we were talking about earlier, changing the language of immorality to a medical condition beyond people's control. Like, they're born that way. Mm-hmm. They're born with this addiction. And so we have to treat them with therapy, not with scripture.
Well, in some ways, I agree, but we treat them with the gospel.
Well, no, listen.
And the addiction, as they call it, the illness, the infection is sin. You know, it's like, well, I was born this way. You may have been born that way. You may be born. You are born in sin.
Yeah, but the assumption now for most people, though, is that we are born innocent.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and,
exactly.
And if there's a problem, it's a medical problem that was forced on us either by circumstances that we are in or by some medical mutation of our body. And so
In other words, yeah, it's not my fault.
No.
I had no choice in the matter as to whether or not I chose to go.
Well, this is a fact.
Like, I didn't choose this lifestyle.
Well, and this book is, he wrote this in 1966 now, and he said that, the new theology of self would require an entire new system of theology that would replace Christian. Sin's replaced with addiction. And listen, it's not, nobody's denying that people don't have addiction issues, and that's not what he's saying. It's just saying that now addiction becomes a replacement for sin in language.
Mm-hmm.
and it becomes a denial of moral responsibility. Well, I look at pornography and I'm addicted to it because I can't help it. I have an addiction problem. Instead of saying I've got a sin problem that causes me to want to do this. I mean, this is in USA Today. This lady named Caroline Simon wrote that sex addiction is now classified as a medical, not a moral condition. That was the headline of the article. So what does that tell guys who are out there listening? Oh, you know what? I don't have a sin problem. I just got a medical problem, so it's okay. And it's not okay. You're not going to stand before God and go, well, I'm sorry, God, you made me this way.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to fly.
Mm.
It's not going to fly. Listen, we are born with a sin nature, and we all have a need. But Jesus can take people that have addiction issues like Nicodemus. Zacchaeus. I was thinking about Zacchaeus. Levi. They were addicted to money, greed, just greedy men who completely had a heart change with Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the great physician. He is the great healer. To just blow it off and say, you know what? It's a medical condition. And that's what's happening a lot, Brad. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, it doesn't matter. People are they're absolving themselves of any responsibility, personal responsibility.
Well, Rod and I actually ended up talking a little bit about that Saturday. Was, you know, you look at a group like we had. How many guys?
63
men gave their Saturday up to come and get equipped, to be discipled, to grow and to walk in these ways. And Rod and I were talking. You know, you look at a group of 63 men who've given their Saturday. That means these are men who are serious about their walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'll guarantee you, there's not one man in that group who's not struggling with something.
Oh yeah,
you know, it could be an addiction. My belief is we all have an addiction. You know, you may have multiple addictions. You know, we're just talking about our grandkids or our kids. I mean, those can be very much something that I put above Christ.
Well, we want to do is trade whatever we're addicted to being addicted to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be addicted to. And you can become addicted to him.
Absolutely.
You know, you can. And
dependent. To me, it's the word dependent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy who's addicted to pornography, he's dependent on that.
Well, why? Why does he run to that? Why does he run to alcohol? Why does he run to drugs? Most of those things are a balm that he's trying to put salve on a wound in his heart for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Some insecurity, some anxiety, some disappointment, some guilt, some shame, whatever it is, he's trying to make it go away, the feelings that he has, and escape into another world. And, you know, what's just hard, Brad, is that this issue that he brings up in this book is now like mainstream in our culture. It's you would be hard pressed to really convince people, even within the church now, that it doesn't take out the morality out of it for people. Even the church has fallen victim to a lot of this therapeutic stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with talking to counselors, but unless you're getting biblical counseling,
exactly,
it's just world gobbledygook.
Call it what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, Moeller really talks a lot. Why do we've changed the language?
Yeah,
we don't call it sin anymore. It's sin. I've mentioned this even, you know, in the business world. I can have a tendency, Doug, to get a little anxious.
Yeah,
a little worried, a little stressed, a little fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And really, as I look at the word, what it reveals is a sinful heart that's not depending on Christ. It's depending on what deals I've got working, you know, whatever I've got in the bank. What is it that's causing that stress? It's a lack of faith in God that he's going to provide.
And the thing is, it makes you feel better to know, well, it's not really a sin problem.
This is normal.
Yeah, it's normal for everybody to feel this way. And
I can't help myself.
Yeah, yeah. That's
interesting language.
Yeah. There. So when we come back, we're going to talk about video games for all you parents out there, because I'm into video games with my boys, like I said, and the World Health Organization just identified gaming as a disorder now.
Interesting. Hey, join us.
Yeah.
We've got one more segment. We'd love to hear from you. 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
More than a feeling, Doug. Do you believe that? It's more than a feeling.
It is more than a feeling.
Yeah. I feel the need to cut that guy off on the freeway.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no ability to control myself. It just happens.
It just happens, and it's a medical condition. It's a medical condition.
Well, if you believe that, that's pretty hard to believe.
Well,
SWAT Radio, by the way, Doug and Brad in the studio, and it's good to be back.
It is. And, you know, I wanted to go back. I want to read Ephesians 2,
yes.
8 through 10 again, because this is our theme for the week. And we're going to be talking about good works that we've been able to be a part of over the summer that are not because we're good guys. It's good works that were part of God's masterpiece that he's creating through us by taking grace and applying it to our lives. And it's the gratitude on our part, and for, quite frankly, Brad, I haven't always had a gracious heart, a grateful heart for what God does, and sometimes I forget how bad I was until I'm reminded of my sin. But for it says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, it may say masterpiece in your translation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And as I think about that, I'm so grateful for God redeeming my life, for rescuing me, allowing me to be a part of what we did in the Philippines and with the SWAT and stuff. And, you know, We're broken people. You and I have talked about that, and it would be so easy. I'm so grateful to have a wife that loves the Lord and a wife that helps me, points out flaws. I'm grateful for guys around me that speak truth into my life, that help me see things. I could very easily be addicted to video games because as a Harrier pilot, I love the cockpit. I loved all the stuff in there. And doing those kind of things. Growing up, I loved playing Cowboys and Indians with fake guns and BB guns even sometimes. Mm-hmm. We had BB gun wars, unfortunately, back then. Terrible thing to do. But you know, that's what we did. We were boys growing up. And all that's happened is people have figured out, hey, let's take Cowboys and Indians to a steroid level.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in a virtual world,
And where nobody gets hurt where physically.
Nobody's hurt physically, but guys can be somebody. And do you notice all of them want to be the Warriors? They all want to get out there. They want to be the guys that go in, that shoot the enemy, and that take down the... Listen, the spiritual warriors thing, you know, I got grief early on because we had an AR-15 and some other weapons. But the verse for SWAT is 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, which says, the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. If you place your faith in weapons, man, they're going to let you down. God is the only thing that we have. He says in Romans, if God's for us, who can be against us? And so, you know, this video game thing, video games, parents ask me a lot of times, should I let my boys play video games? Well, first of all, you have to know your boys. And you have to know if they're not getting any spiritual input into their life, if that world takes them to a world where there's no restraints and no filters, then you might not want them to go there.
Well, I've had a couple of people ask me online, privately, you know, what is my stance on that? And it could be different. I have my own stance on it. But that doesn't mean it needs to be your stance.
Well, exactly.
But I agree with you, Doug. One of the first things I tell people is, you and I talk about it a lot, is what's coming in? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to sit down at a dinner table, and if all I ate was, you know, bacon, it's going to create some problems down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, my physical diet, nutritionally, I need various sources of nutrition. Well, the same is true for us spiritually and mentally and emotionally. You know, if we're spending 5 hours a day playing video games and we're reading the Word of God 30 minutes a week, there's a nutrition problem.
Well, there absolutely is a spiritual nutrition problem. The other thing is, if your kids are playing video games for 6 to 8 hours a day and they're not doing any exercise to exercise their physical body either, that's another issue. And so but video games are, they're a form of entertainment. They're like movies. Some of them can be very, very bad. Some can be R-rated. You know, video games in of themselves, listen, like this guy says in this article, if you look around, half the people, or more than half the people you see, have their faces down in a little screen sometime. They're in an electronic world. And so, you know, those things are going to be doing it. Kids are going to play Fortnite. They're going to do League of Legends, World of Warcraft, or some of those games, Minecraft, whatever they're playing. You know, if you're watching kids grow up, the jobs, those things, you know, I know the Army, I think the Army was actually using Call of Duty to train people at one time, which is a video game. So if your kids were, I mean, you learn tactics, you can do things. And so they were teaching that. So video games in them themselves are not evil, but there are people that maybe don't have the same value system as you making some of those games. So you need to be discerning as a parent what you allow your children to do or don't. One thing I liked about the particular Fortnite game is that in the other games it didn't have, is like when me and my sons play it, we just talk to each other. So we're connecting with each other, and we're going out and doing something, and we're not having to hear smack talk from other people like some of the games. Sometimes some of the games, people smack talk each other, and that creates a real disrespect among people for people, you know?
Well, I'm over here laughing, and we're going to take a call in just a second. But you know what my game was, Doug? What? So you remember Minesweeper?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got so into Minesweeper, I was addicted. You know, it wasn't sin; it was an addiction.
It was a medical issue.
Wasn't a moral issue. Anyway, I got addicted to playing Minesweeper, and I would literally get, you know, the big. You had, I think there were three sizes. There was one that was like, you know, 12 squares, and there was one that was 36, and there was a. I mastered the big one. For me, it was about mastering something.
Yeah,
you remember going to Cracker Barrel, and you sit at Cracker Barrel, and they have those little triangle things with the golf tees in it.
Yeah,
I bought one of those because I had to master it.
Yeah,
I know my weaknesses. I know my own struggles. We used to play Tetris as a family, and I mean, oh, it was great, very good family time. Problem is, after everybody else went to sleep, I'd play Tetris so I could beat everybody the next time we got together.
So you're just competitive.
Well, I am, but even that can be a problem.
Okay, so this is why competitive people gamble. All right, here's the thing. If you go to Las Vegas or Atlantic City or any gambling thing, the reason they're so big is because they always win. The psychology of gambling is that when you win, you want to win more. And when you lose, you want to get your money back. And in the same way, if you look at video games, whether it's Mario, whether it's Fortnite, if you
Minesweeper.
Win, yeah, if you win, you want to win bigger. If you lose, you want to win.
So
they kind of draw you in. And, you know, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I know we want to get the call on. We only got a few minutes left. So let's go ahead and take the call.
Hey, Gabe, are you on? Gabe, are you with us? Well, I think we did have a call.
Did we lose him? I think we talked too much. Is it showing over there? Yeah. Did you push the third line? Gabe, can you hear us?
I'm not Gabe. I'm Kenny Gilpin.
Oh, Kenny. Oh, how are you?
I'm good. I just got off work and turned my radio on. Of course, it's on SWAT radio. So I heard you guys talking about the retreat Saturday, and I just wanted to let you guys know you two are amazing, and I am just proud to know both of you, and that the time that we spent in the Philippines and the time that we spent together Saturday, what I heard Saturday was exactly what I needed to hear at the exact time, and I just want to thank you, Doug, for putting that all together, you know, for putting the Philippines trip together. That was life-changing for me. It just totally changed my whole perspective of bringing forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want to thank you both from the bottom of my heart, because it's SWAT. They need to be everywhere in the United States, all over the world, because it is something that has totally changed my life in an awesome way. And I just wanted to thank you both.
Well, Kenny, I'm so glad you got to go with us to the Philippines. Real quick, we only got a minute. What was the one thing your takeaway from the Philippines for you personally?
For me personally was that there are people there from all walks of life, you know, all over the United States, all over the world, who want Jesus so bad. And even the Filipino people, the children were hungry. For me, it was just an eye-opener to realize that these people from these other countries are so hungry for Jesus. And I can't understand why it's not like that here in the United States, but you know, I wish it, and I know it's going to take guys like us to get out there and start, you know, start doing what we did in the Philippines, start, you know, on a daily basis. And Doug, you put a challenge to us when we came back into the States that every day try to ask God to bring somebody across your path. And I'm telling you, it works. It has happened to me. It did not happen to me today. I did talk to one of the individuals who gave into my part of funding. And so I did talk to him about that, but actually, you know, talking to somebody who did know Jesus, I didn't do that today. But that challenge is awesome.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing, Kenny. Hey, we're going to be talking about it Thursday, so make sure and listen to Thursday. We're going to have David Gray on, and we're going to have Ronnie's going to be on Friday. We're gonna have Mark Cars, but I'd love for you to call back in Thursday, maybe, Kenny, and talk as you listen to the guys. Okay,
all right, I'll do that, guys.
Okay, love right. You brother,
love you, Kenny. What a treat, Kenny. Yeah. such a joy to be around, such an encouragement. You know, I was thinking about this verse we're looking at, Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10. We were created for good works. Mm-hmm. You got any good works today? SWAT radio.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Join us tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.